Welcome to the Bidwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at bidwellpres.org. The following sermon, The Power of Gentleness, part of the series Beyond Limits, The Fruit of the Spirit in Your Life, was given by guest speaker Tammy Veach on Sunday, August 6, 2023. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey.
It was pretty much exactly 10 years ago, August of 2013, that we were new faces at Bidwell. And just a few months later, I ventured into Webb, the women's Bible study. And at that time, it was, you had a speaker, and then you broke into small groups to talk about the lesson. And the small groups were named after the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. And I remember audibly chuckling when Kat assigned me to gentleness, because it's not how I typically think of myself as a gentle person. And if you ask the people who know me best, it is not one of the top 10 words that will come out of their mouth, maybe not even the top 100 words that come out of their mouth in describing me. And so then when I was talking to Henry and I was going to be in town, he's like, well, that week it'll be gentleness. I'm like, yeah, okay, thanks God. Yeah, you just keep reminding me. But isn't that the beauty of the God that loves us? Is he never gives up on us. And he's never done working in us, right? He's always working in us to continue to mold us and shape us into the image of Christ. And I like to believe that I'm made progress over the last 10 years, but I'm not done. And honestly, none of us are done. There is no one in this room that can go, fruit of the Spirit, got him, done, don't need any of this. We're all on a journey, and we're on that journey together. That's another beauty of the Christian life, is that we journey on this together and support and encourage one another. So before we begin our journey of gentleness this morning, let's pray. Lord, I thank you personally for this opportunity, for the chance to share what you have laid on my heart, knowing I'm not a perfect person. I don't have gentleness nailed down, but you still say, you're my daughter and I love you and I want to use you. And I'm humble and grateful. I just thank you for all the lovely people that are here this morning, those I know, those I do not know. And I pray that this time will be used to honor you. Amen. I'm a little emotional this morning, all of the hugs from the first service and before this service. It really is beautiful to be back. But we're going to start, what a great place to start, in the Old Testament. We're going to look at God's gentleness in the Old Testament. Looking at Psalm 23, which is very familiar, we're going to look at verses 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. What a beautiful picture of God coming alongside us with gentleness. I like to picture a nice calm spot in a spring where there's still waters, right? Maybe an old-fashioned swimming hole, right? A nice green meadow. Maybe there's a blanket and a picnic basket. And God says, oh, my dear child, come, sit, rest. I'm gentle toward you. I want to love you and restore you. Or Isaiah 40, verse 11, also is an image of God's tenderness. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. God, we are his sheep, and he gathers us up like little lambs. And we don't live in the same kind of agrarian society that they did. So let's switch that image up a little bit. And it's a toddler that is your child or your grandchild, right? just like that, God scoops you up and snuggles, you know, maybe buries his face in your neck until you giggle. The gentleness of God. That's the image of the gentleness of God. Or we think of the story of Elijah. If you want to read it, it's in 1 Kings. I'm not going to read the story, but Elijah is running from Queen Jezebel, who would like to see him dead. He actually runs for 4 days. And several times during that journey, God says, Elijah, you need to rest. Here's bread and here's water that God provides for him, and sleep. God in his gentleness restores Elijah. And eventually Elijah finds himself in a cave. He's hiding. And God says, come to the mouth of the cave, Elijah. I want to talk to you. And there God experiences the original earth, wind, and fire, not the band. And there's a huge wind that howls across the mouth of the cave. But God's not in that wind. And then there is a rumbling earthquake. But God's not in the earthquake. And then there's a roaring fire. God's not in that fire. But then God comes to Elijah in a gentle whisper. I'm gentle towards you, Elijah. I am powerful like the fire and the wind and the earthquake, but I am gentle in my love toward you, Elijah. And then God says, I don't think everybody gets that I'm gentle. And so I'm going to send an embodiment of my gentleness. Not just my gentleness, but all of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to send someone to demonstrate all of that. Because Jesus is the character of God in person. And we see for Jesus in Matthew 11 what he says to us. Verses 28 to 30, for those of you that like to take notes, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. Those two words often go together. Gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus is saying to us, come to me, give me all of your weariness, give me all of your heaviness, give me all of the burdens that you carry on your shoulders that you are not intended to carry. Give them to me and I will give you lightness. I will give you gentleness. I will give you rest. Trade your heaviness for my gentleness. Or another story is that of the woman at the well, where Jesus intentionally meets a Samaritan woman. Two things that a good rabbi would not have anything to do with were a woman he was not related to and a Samaritan. But Jesus intentionally meets this outcast, rejected woman, and he engages her in conversation. He expresses gentleness to her by treating her with respect and dignity, and something men did not typically do in that time. He honored her intelligence. He had a theological discussion with her. Women were not valued for their intellect in Jesus' time. No one would be standing at the beginning of the service saying, we acknowledge that women are gifted and are an equal ability to teach. He gave her gentleness and dignity and respect. And we see that so much throughout Jesus' ministry, even on the cross, as he hangs there in agony, in pain, a criminal's death. What are the first words out of his mouth? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He didn't call down lightning. He didn't, curse them with a plague. He didn't seek revenge. He didn't say, God, get them for what they've done. He said, oh, Father, forgive them. Such a great act of gentleness. And also on the cross, he demonstrates gentleness to his mother when he says to his good buddy John, John, take care of my mom. She's yours now. What a gentle family recognition there. And then if we think about how forgiveness, like from the cross, is such an act of gentleness. Following the resurrection, imagine that you're Peter. And during Christ's arrest and trial, you had watched Jesus and denied knowing him three times. Vehemently denied. Swore you did not know him. And now, Jesus has risen from the dead, and there's got to be this mixed bag for Peter as he's thinking, wow, Jesus is alive. But the anxiety of, but what now for me? He knows I denied him. He knows my sin. He knows what I did. What is there for me in this ministry now? And Jesus takes Peter aside, and he says, Peter, do you love me? Well, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, Peter, feed my sheep. And this transaction happens three times. Has to sting just a little bit for Peter. But at the same time, Jesus is saying, every sin, there is a forgiveness. Each one, I'll match you, forgiveness for sin, every single time. Peter, such gentleness. And he doesn't just say, well, Peter, you're forgiven. Now go on about your business. He says, no, Peter, I restore you to leadership within this thing that we have started. I have forgiven you. I have restored you. I think that is the ultimate act of gentleness, is to forgive and restore. Old Testament. Jesus. Now, what about the context that this fruit of the Spirit appears in that Paul is writing about in Galatians? You've probably been looking at it regularly, but the verse of this series is Galatians 5, 22 and 23. By contrast, talking about all kinds of evil things, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. So Paul is writing a letter in the Greco-Roman world. Well, what was gentleness like there? Well, it was certainly not something that was valued, particularly for men. Men were meant to be dominant, aggressive, powerful, strong. It was totally okay to step on other people to get where you wanted to go. And I'm sure that when they read this and they were, gentleness? What? Gentleness? That's something I'm supposed to display? It would have been very out of culture for them. And the word that is used here in the Greek is praus. It is translated three different ways, three words, the word meek, humility, and gentleness. And one commentator actually says that he thinks this is one of the hardest words in Scripture to translate. And he uses those three words, but he says it's really three concepts that cannot be given in just a single word. So those three concepts. First is to be submissive to the will of God. That's the first description of what this word means. Like in the Beatitudes, when Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What if you thought about that as blessed are those who submit to the will of God, for they will inherit the earth. And that removes some of the awkwardness that we feel over the word meek. It's unfortunate that it rhymes with weak. And so we kind of think they go together, but that's not it at all. Blessed are those that submit to the will of God. And the second description of this word is to be teachable, not too proud to learn. Yeah, that word often gets translated as humble, humility. Be teachable, particularly in the areas of God, right? And then the most common translation of the word or concept of the word is to just downright plain be considerate. You know, people think the opposite of gentleness is strength. No, the opposite of gentleness is rudeness. Just plain be considerate. It's often described as, this word is often described as to be tender. It's related to an animal that's been tamed, or power under control. So I'm going to give a couple examples of those things. What about an animal tamed? Well, my husband and I each have a horse, so we have two horses. And if you watch a horse in the wild, they are strong, powerful, fierce. They'll fight off a mountain lion. And it never ceases to amaze me that I can get up on this 1,000-pound animal, or some of the horses in the barn where our horses are 1,300 pounds. And with the slight movement of my hand, even without a bit, my horse, my husband's horse, not so much, got to have the bit. With a slight movement of my hand, the turning of my shoulders, the light placement of my foot on his side, he will yield to what I ask 98% of the time. Is he no longer strong? Is he no longer powerful? Is he no longer fierce? Just because he's gentle? He has been gentled? Or what about power under control? Years ago, we were part of a church where there was a young family in the church, and the husband's name was Vic. Vic had been a three-sport athlete, full-ride athletic scholarship for college, and he was 6'9". He was a big dude, right? His shoulders, I'm not kidding, they were like this. He was a lineman, like he was this big. And I overheard him one time telling somebody else that he had a 33-inch waist. So he was built like any superhero would love to be built. And on Saturdays, he ran a boot camp for men who wanted to get into shape. And on Sunday morning, you could tell every man that was at Saturday's boot camp. Because they would walk in like this. And you'd say, please sit. And they'd go, oh no. Stand up. Oh no. Right? And if you asked any of those men to describe Vic, they would say, he is strong, he is powerful, he is intimidating, he is a slave driver, he is brutal, he is hardworking, he is disciplined. And I always assumed that Vic was a football coach, baseball coach, athletic director. And I was surprised to learn that Vic was a speech therapist. And not just any old speech therapist. He worked at the school for the blind and deaf. Talk about students that need you to be gentle. Or at a church gathering where there was a pool, Vic could be found in the middle of the pool. Three kids on this arm, two kids on this arm, couple on his back, one on his head. You know, he was the playground, right? And he'd say, ready? And he'd drop to the bottom of the pool and then shoot up to just giggles and shrieks of joy from all of the kids. If you were to ask a mama that was sitting there next to that pool to describe Vic besides his enormous size, they would say, oh, he's so gentle, he's so tender, he's so fun, he's so kind. Did Vic give up any of his strength and power to be gentle? I'd say it made his strength and his power even more beautiful, that he knew how to bring that strength and power under control. And that's what this word is about. It's not about giving up strength and power. It's about bringing it under control. So what does that mean to us in the Christian life now? We've looked at, it's a biblical journey, Old Testament, New Testament, Christian life, context, and now Christian life. I think Ephesians sums it up very well in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, when Paul writes, be completely humble and gentle, those two words together again. Be patient. Oh, there's another one of our characteristics from the fruit of the Spirit. Bearing with one another in love. Oh, there it is again, another one. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We're basically being told, treat each other according to the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's bringing them together, and it's friends, it's strangers, it's the church, or one of the favorite phrases of the pastor of the church that we attend now is he says, you are being called to treat people in, according to this, people that don't think like you, don't act like you, don't vote like you, and may not even like you. That is who we are being called to treat this way, with unity and peace and love and putting that all together. And although I think that is a great overall description, I also want to point out one particular place where we are called to demonstrate gentleness, and it comes in Galatians chapter 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit, oh, that Spirit's there again, should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. So how are we called to restore one another? Gently. Oh, well, one person's gotten it so far. You are called to restore each other gently. And unfortunately, I think the church as a whole often has, and sometimes well deserved, a reputation of kicking people when they're down. That we often have a reputation of judging the sinner rather than restoring the sinner gently. And then the second half of the verse kind of is basically saying, you ought to do this because sometime it's going to be you that was caught in sin. I mean, just think what would happen if we were kicked out of the church every time we sinned, or any when we sinned. The pews would be empty. None of us would be here. There wouldn't be a church, right? Because we are all sinners. So is this verse saying, restore each other gently, because honestly, isn't that how you want to be treated? Because you're a sinner too? Restore each other with gentleness. So if we think about this, bringing this concept of gentleness together, it's gentleness, tenderness, submitting to the will of God, forgiveness, humility. And I would like to say that I don't think that those are weaknesses at all. I think that those are the strengths of the Christian faith. And if we think about that as a description of the word gentleness, I want to close with a quote that's by that famous author unknown, Or possibly by his equally well-known sister, Anonymous. Not quite sure which one of the twins wrote this. But it says, a mistake that makes you humble, or insert, gentle, tender, forgiving, submissive to the will of God, is better than an achievement that makes you arrogant. Lord, thank you that you are all of the things described in the fruit of the Spirit, and that you, in your great mercy, treat us that way, with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We thank you for your immense grace toward us. And we come together just as grateful and thankful people, acknowledging who you are and what you have done for us. Amen.